the Devil's Advocates because freedom.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy Monday to us all. Dominic, we got a fine guest live via Zoom. Andrew Seidel, he is the Director of Strategic Response, Freedom from Religion Foundation. He's a constitutional attorney and author of The Founding Myth. Andrew, welcome back to the big show.
It is always a pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Andrew.
Well, Andrew, I feel like we need to set the stage, and we've got fine producer, Fancy Brian over here, pulled some sound from Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum, you know, ran for president and famously a senator, former senator, but said some troubling things over the weekend. We'd like to play them so the audience understands the context. Fancy Brian, if you'd be so kind, play cut six.
If you think about this country, I don't know of any other country in the world that was settled predominantly by people who were coming to practice their faith. They came here because they were not allowed to practice their particular faith in their own country. And so they came here mostly from Europe, and they set up a country that was based on Judeo-Christian principles. When I say Judeo-Christian, the Mosaic laws, Ten Commandments, and the teachings of Jesus Christ, the morals and teachings of Jesus Christ. That's what our founding documents are based upon.
A little bit more. Please indulge. Cut seven, Rick Santorum.
It's in our DNA. You know, if you think of other countries like Italy and Greece and China and Turkey and places like that, they've all sort of changed over time. I mean, they've been there for millennia in many cases. And their culture has sort of evolved over time. But not us. We came here and created a blank slate. We birthed a nation from nothing.
And faith and freedom is what makes us unique. One more from Santorum. Cut eight, please.
I mean, there's nothing here. I mean, yes, we have Native Americans, but candidly, that there isn't much Native American culture in American culture. It was born of the people who came here pursuing religious liberty to practice their faith, to live as they ought to live, and have the freedom to do so. Religious liberty. Those are the two bulwarks of America, faith and freedom.
Andrew.
You hear it all the time now, faith and freedom, faith and freedom. But it is what makes America unique in the world.
Sorry about that. Hate to interrupt Rick Santorum. Andrew, you know, setting aside the anti-Indigenous culture sentiment there, what about the statements being made by Rick Santorum? Do you believe they're factually correct, sir?
And I just want to throw on there, Andrew, if I may, Santorum has given a speech to the Young Americas Foundation. This is an organization led by now Scott Walker. Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think anything that he said about the United States or American history was true. That little bit about European countries evolving was technically true. Everything else was a lie or a very common myth. And it's really important to understand that what he is about, like transitioning from the claim that America was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, then right into that bigotry and racism is literally a textbook example of Christian nationalism. It's what I wrote about in The Founding Myth. And it's important because it really shows quite clearly that this idea that America is a Christian nation that we're based on Judeo-Christian principles is at heart this exclusionary, divisive idea. It's not really a debate about American history. It's about elevating the right kind of Christians to a special privileged status. And everybody else, well, you know, tough luck with that genocide, I guess.
Andrew, some harsh words being thrown about, but let me ask you, my understanding of history was that many of the original, the early settlers here on the American continent were fleeing religious persecution. But does that make the founding of the American experiment predicated on Judeo-Christian beliefs?
No, and you've hit on a really actually important distinction that Santorum elided, right? Fleeing religious persecution is not the same as seeking religious freedom. And that distinction is crucial. And, you know, he's talking about the Pilgrims and the Puritans. So he's, first of all, only talking about Massachusetts, not the rest of the settlements that were on North America at the time, of which became eventually the 13 colonies. But, you know, the pilgrims didn't, they fled religious persecution when they left England, but they didn't come right to North America. First, they went to Leiden, to Holland, where the government actually tolerated their minority religion and gave them more religious freedom, not as we understand it today, but tolerance, than was available anywhere else at the time, at least in Europe. But freedom wasn't enough, because that meant others were free too. And that wasn't what the pilgrims wanted. So they came to the New World not to establish religious freedom, but to establish a government according to their particular brand, particularly strident brand of Christianity. And the same can be said of the Puritans, who regularly banished and executed people over theological disagreements.
Now, when you say execution, you mean like burning witches alive, quote unquote, witches?
Yeah, killing. I mean, Mary Dyer is kind of this famous example that they executed three. And I do tell a lot of this history in the founding myth. But this isn't freedom, right? This is religious tyranny. And that tyranny extended to the genocide that I mentioned earlier, right? I mean, there's this book, kind of a history written by John Mason, who was the Puritans' militia commander. And he talks about slaughtering, unabashedly writes about slaughtering a village of Pequots, killing 700 native men, women, and children on the Mystic River. And he did this and recounts this unashamedly and says that his God laughed while his men were slaughtering. This is the quote: "God was above them, who laughed his enemies and the enemies of his people to scorn, making them as a fiery oven." I mean, that's got a haunting analogy down the line. "Thus did the Lord judge among the heathens, filling the place with dead bodies!" Exclamation mark. Okay, so this is a genocide, a divine, biblically sanctioned genocide. I mean, everything that Rick Santorum is spouting here is this Christian nationalism, and there's a direct line between that racism and bigotry and the claim that America is founded on Judeo-Christian principles.
Now, Andrew, of course, it also discounts any other cultures that were here prior to, you know, the Puritans coming over, let alone the indigenous people who obviously Santorum just entirely discounts. But the founding documents, and as I mentioned to you earlier today when we were texting back and forth, I was wormholing, and I ended up finding an old interview you did with Bill O'Reilly back in the day, you and Papa Bear, going at it back and forth. And he brought up the Declaration of Independence that says, well, there's God or creator, something brought up in that document. And how does that not prove, Andrew, that we are a Christian nation? Andrew, what do you say to that?
Yeah, again, none of these are new claims. They're all very old, and they've been debunked for the most part. I mean, so first of all, the Declaration of Independence didn't establish the United States of America. That's a document of destruction, right? It dissolved the political bands which connected the United States with Great Britain. That was how Jefferson phrased it there. And I actually go through in the founding myth and look at all the language that is supposedly invokes the Judeo-Christian God. But for instance, saying that the laws of nature and of nature's God, which is what Jefferson does, give us certain rights, is not the same as saying that those are Judeo-Christian rights. The nature's God is a very different thing, and it meant something very different at the time. And more importantly, we ought to look to our Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, which actually founded the United States of America, and which doesn't mention God or a deity at all, which was revolutionary, that cites its power in we the people, which was again revolutionary, not in a God, that separates state and church by banning, for instance, religious tests for public office, and by guaranteeing the freedom of religion by ensuring that our government is free from religion, right? That's our founding document, and it doesn't mention God. There's not a single Judeo-Christian principle you can really point to in the United States Constitution.
Well, and Santorum acts like, number one, that this false idea of what his historical perception of this country is unique. And I would say, well, there's lots of countries around the world, many of which we go to war with, some are allies, that have religion as the base of their governmental function. We are not one of them. So, Andrew, I mean, you know, this is Santorum. Now, he's a smart enough guy to get elected, I guess. And
I mean, he's a lawyer. He's a lawyer.
And a CNN contributor. And he's out there pushing this. And as obviously, as you mentioned, I mean, this persists. This is prevalent, specifically in religious and Republican and right-wing circles. What do you think is the best pushback against this argument? You know, you got to have something easy and concise, maybe a little bit longer than a bumper sticker, but you can't, you know, necessarily engage with these people over the course of reading a book. You have to get something.
Yeah, I mean, should I? Okay, so I mean, I have a couple ideas on that. And one is what I do in the Founding Myth, in the subtitle of the Founding Myth. I point out that this is fundamentally an un-American ideology. The very idea of a Christian nation is fundamentally opposed to the principles that founded the United States of America. So to say that America is founded as a Christian nation is not only nonsense and wrong, it's un-American. The moment America becomes a Christian nation, it ceases to be America. So that's one thing. And another thing, too, I think people need to be aware of is, you know, the secular government that we have that is enshrined in our Constitution, it is the only true guarantee for religious freedom. So if people want religious freedom, they need to have a secular government. There's no such thing as the freedom of religion without a government that's free from religion. And finally, when we're engaging with these people, you know, I don't know how many strident Christian nationalists we're going to convince. Research shows that probably about a quarter of the country holds those beliefs devoutly. And then a quarter of the country is like me, who opposes those beliefs and the people who hold those beliefs devoutly. And then the middle 50% is kind of along the spectrum where they maybe can be convinced one way or the other, though they lean. We ought to be aiming for that middle 50% to try to convince them that Christian nationalism over there on the fringe is an existential threat to the American Republic. I mean, it is one of the major motivators, one of the big justifications for attacking the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. I mean, one of the groups that organized a lot of the events in the lead up to January 6th was called the Jericho March, which was named after a biblical genocide, very much like the one that I recounted about the Puritans foisting on the Pequots. So there's this line that you can draw, and we ought to be targeting kind of that middle section of the country and warning them that this is an existential threat. And that's something I've been trying to do for at least a couple of years now.
Our fine guest, Andrew Seidel from the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Andrew, I've noticed of late, Tucker Carlson on Fox News basically went through and spouted white replacement theory. And then apparently, you know, the example set by Tucker, I saw U.S. Senator Ron Johnson on a separate Fox News interview basically spouting the very same theory. You talk about white Christian nationalism. How does this factor into your opinion, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, the overlap between Christian nationalism and white supremacy is, you know, if you're looking at a Venn diagram, it looks close to a circle. And that is not much of a joke. When I speak of Christian nationalism, I often don't add white Christian nationalism because it's already a mouthful. But that is what we are talking about. We are talking about white Christian nationalism. You know, for instance, if you look at the data, it shows that Black Americans who think the United States is a Christian nation, that means something very different to them, especially politically, than it does to white Christian nationalists. If people want to read more on that, Andrew Whitehead and Sam Perry have done some great research on that. But I mean, the overlap is substantial between white supremacy and Christian nationalism. And Robbie Jones's book, which I've got back there, White Too Long, does a really great job of exploring that as well, that this really is white Christian nationalism.
Andrew Seidel, Director of Strategic Response, Freedom From Religion Foundation, constitutional attorney, author of The Founding Myth, and a fine guest here on The Devil's Advocates. We appreciate you doing so, Andrew. Don't be a stranger, man.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you, sir. Folks, we are The Devil's Advocates. We'll open up the phone lines, 844-967-2789, and also the awarding of D-Bag of the Day. I hope we didn't steal any of Rick Santorum's thunder. Come back, more Devils.
I want to thank God for his abundant grace.
Grace, she passed away 30 years ago.
We've included a Venn diagram.
Oh my God.